In the clouds, a silver and blue shield contains the letters WB, while below it text reads, "A Warner Media Company." The logo breaks into pieces which form a new design of a film frame with sprocket holes. New Line Cinema, a Warner Media Company. Giant metallic letters appear in the darkness and float into a light source that glints across their surface. Braun. White block letters read, "Film Rights." A combination of the letters B and R take shape to form a cattle brand-like symbol over the words Bosque Ranch Productions. New Line Cinema presents, in association with Creative Wealth Media, a Braun Studios film rights production. Skydivers appear, free-falling through the air. The view goes dark briefly. A forest fire rages below them. All goes dark again. The parachuters drop toward the flames. Darkness again fills the sky, then a chute opens, drastically slowing a jumper's descent. After landing, the smoke jumpers battle the raging inferno. Bearded man points.
We got no escape!
Get through here!
Leo tears off, but a flaming tree falls right beside him. Leo catches fire. A female firefighter gapes as she watches her comrade burn. She turns and spots three boys trapped in the flames. The woman wakes up from her dream. Her oval face and high cheekbones glisten in the dark bedroom. As a view soars over luxurious waterfront property, text reads, Fort Lauderdale, Florida. A woman opens her front door to find two official-looking men standing outside, an older man wearing a badge and a younger one in a hard hat.
Morning, ma'am. I'm with the fire department. He's with Florida Gas.
Our system alerted us to a gas leak where our main feeds into your boiler.
Is your husband home?
He's in the shower. Should we get out of the house?
No, this is likely a computer error as an actual leak, but we should check to be safe. May we come in?
Please, yes.
Thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, thank you.
They enter the house. Later, the two men walk back outside. The younger man leads the way while they head briskly down the sidewalk and away from the house. He turns to his older companion as they cross the street.
How far away is Jacksonville?
With traffic, 6 hours, maybe more.
He glances at the younger man's clothing.
Got blood in your shirt.
They climb into a parked sedan.
Should change before we continue.
Well, I hate to take a detour. This will be on the news in a half hour. If he has any sense, he'll be on a move already.
It'll take him a day to get the courage. Another to plan it. He'll be there, besides. We don't take unnecessary risks.
I'm sorry.
Happens.
They pull away, the younger man behind the wheel. The house explodes behind them. Text reads, Jacksonville, Florida. In a kitchen, a bespectacled man prepares food.
Come on, bud. We're gonna be late.
Toast pops up from a toaster. A young boy trots downstairs to join the man in the kitchen.
What's obtuse mean?
Annoyingly insensitive.
Has a girl ever called you obtuse?
Only your mother, son.
He sets a plate in front of his son.
Where are you?
Yeah. It can also mean, like, very slow to understand. I'm pretty sure I was that.
That makes more sense.
Just tell her you're sorry and you'll try harder.
Not taking dating advice from you, Dad. No offense.
Can girls have cooties for one more year, please, while I mentally prepare for what's coming?
District Attorney Thomas Berdito, where it is now believed he and his family were killed in what fire officials are calling a gas line explosion. Fort Lauderdale's police chief says he intends to work closely with fire officials to find a definitive cause of this tragedy that has cost this community a family and one of its most beloved leaders.
Wearing a shocked expression, the man sways unsteadily.
Dad, you all right?
one. We're gonna be late.
Now in a car, the bespectacled father drives as his son sits beside him in the passenger seat. They pull to a stop by a parking lot. The dad peers warily out the window at a crouching man who's looking his way while reaching into a duffel bag. A young girl joins the crouching man. As the two walk off, the bespectacled dad turns and spots a woman pointing his way while she talks to a driver. A security guard leans in. The dad nods at him.
Jeez, Dad, what's wrong with you?
The father spins the car's steering wheel to pull out of a school drop-off lane and zoom off.
Dad, what are you doing?
We're playing hooky.
I don't want to play hooky. I have a chemistry exam at 8.
Playing hooky.
They rocket through a turn, their station wagon cutting off another vehicle.
No, no more texting.
No phone, okay? Just give it to me. Give me the phone.
Are you in trouble? What did you do?
The right thing, you understand me? I did the right thing.
If you did the right thing, then why are you so scared?
Now a man addresses a group of young people in an open-air structure as the female firefighter and several others watch from a nearby picnic table.
The great history of smoke jumpers now rests on your capable shoulders. With every jump you make, every fire you turn, you're continuing the legacy.
Hey, top me off here, boss.
You can't wait 15 minutes for the party at the bar?
Shut the fuck up. You were drugged when I picked you up this morning.
That's very true.
Self-medicating your way through it, huh?
A man in a deputy's uniform joins them.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Where do they teach you that stare that y'all have?
Not that one. That one right there.
That one right there.
Oh, that one.
You feel it, Benny?
I can see it right through your sunglasses. It's going right into my heart, my soul.
A lot of hours in front of the mirror, bud.
Mean and sexy.
Why'd they put you in a fire tower?
Well, I'm just lucky, I guess.
Yeah, fuck them. And their tests.
Fuck them.
Amen. Fuck them all.
Which tower?
217, close to you. So, keep the barbecues low or I'm going to have to send in an airstrike.
All right, listen. I'd really like today to go different than last year and the year before that and every other fucking year that came before that.
All right. Last year was...
So, who can tell me what the goal of the day is?
Threesome sounds pretty good. Or winning the lottery.
Threesome for you would be winning the lottery.
That's fucked up.
Very true.
The goal, you fucking clowns, for the day.
No fighting.
Exactly right. And please do not jump off a ship with parachutes, okay?
Oh, who would do that?
Oh, I have no idea.
I am older now, and... Well, I'm older.
Yeah.
Just trying to keep you alive.
Benny points at Ethan.
Don't you worry about that. That's our job. You just write the parking tickets, and we'll keep you alive.
Fair enough. Make good choices, please.
Oh, here's the good choices.
Good choices.
Ethan saunters off.
I'm feeling naughty.
Well, me being the team player, I guess I can help you with that.
No. I do not have sex with a man I have seen shit in the woods.
Get the fuck out of here. I have the very same rule.
You don't have sex with men who's shit in the woods?
Who the fuck are you kidding?
Oh, are we being too loud? Are we too loud, Ethan? I'm sorry. Congratulations.
Those at the picnic table raise their drinks to the new smoke jumpers. Later, they all celebrate with a barbecue. The female firefighter sips a beer as nearby Benny, a mustached smoke jumper, holds a beanbag while playing cornhole.
Did you get your head in the game?
Hey, do you want to dance with the devil? I'm going to show you how to dance with the devil right now, you fucker. Listen, the objective is to put it in the hole.
That's what she said.
I'm going to show you how to do it, Snowflake.
Boss, you're up. Let's go.
I do nothing involving the word corn.
Oh, you coward.
Benny's competitor throws her a beanbag, and she deftly tosses it directly in the hole.
Oh, yes!
See? That's how it's done. Nothing left to prove.
In a bar, the bearded man and another firefighter peer at a pretty blonde woman who sits with a dorky-looking man.
I'm not judging. I'm just trying to understand. That's your fucking boyfriend.
Yes.
I can't get my fucking head around.
No, I don't understand why this is so funny to you.
Oh, fuck, dude, this is perfect.
He's fucking bathing. He's trying to quit smoking.
Benny bursts in.
Run, Victor! Huh? She's doing it
right now.
Benny, Vic, and Brian bolt. Outside, the female firefighter stands in the bed of a pickup wearing a parachute.
Nothing!
The pickup truck peels out as her comrades run toward parked vehicles. The woman spreads her arms while she stands and rides in the back of the speeding truck, her dark hair blowing in the wind. She deploys her chute and is violently yanked into the air. She spins wildly, then drops down, disappearing over the side of the road. Her comrades pull up in another truck. They hop out and peer down a steep escarpment at her.
Shit.
I remember the landing being softer last time.
Nope. It went pretty much like that.
A sheriff's department SUV pulls over. Ethan steps over and looks down at her.
What are you gonna do? Arrest me?
Now she rides in the back of his SUV.
I wonder why you failed your psych eval, huh?
Did you tighten these with a fucking torque wrench?
Oh, does it hurt?
Yeah, it fucking hurts.
Good. Maybe you'll learn something. Hey, eyes on me. Quit your sulking, all right? You got yourself here. This shit is on you. Fucking earned it.
He pulls the vehicle to the side of the road and, climbing out, steps around to open the back door for her.
Let's go.
Ethan roughly pulls her out.
Now here's the thing. We both know that had nothing to do with fun. I sure as shit wasn't an accident, right?
He uncuffs her.
Look, Gage, I know what you're trying to do. Maybe those other assholes, they don't see it, but I certainly do.
H averts her gaze and stares off into the distance.
You know, maybe a summer in a fire tower by yourself do you some good.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'll just jump.
He shifts on his feet as she casually saunters away from him. At the bespectacled man's house, the younger assassin heads up the same stairs the boy climbed down earlier. He grips a pistol tightly with gloved hands as he ascends. In the kitchen, the older assassin also warily searches, his eyes narrow. The younger man, who sports scruffy, close-cropped facial hair, opens a door. His partner checks out a bedroom. Downstairs in the living room, the two men regroup.
It doesn't look like they took anything.
Toothbrush is still in the bathroom.
The older assassin turns and heads into the kitchen where he finds a laptop sitting on the island. He opens it and sees the paused news report about the gas explosion.
They're gone. We need a destination. I'll take the computer, you take the house.
As the younger man tries to open a file cabinet, his partner brings up a page on the laptop reading, "Forgot username, password." The young man breaks into the cabinet and pulls out a folder. Reset password appears on the laptop screen. Flipping through some keepsakes, the young assassin finds a memorial service program with a woman's picture on it. He compares the photo to framed ones on the wall.
He withdrew $10,000 from his account. He'll go dark now. We need to know the friend or family member he's running to.
All right.
Come on.
Where are you going?
The young man checks more photos on the walls. He spots one featuring the father and son standing beside Ethan in uniform and a curly-haired woman. The four in the photo pose next to a sign reading Soda Butte Survival School. The young man carries the photo over to show his partner.
Oh, how about the one in law enforcement?
The older assassin takes the photo and studies it.
Survival school. Just keeps getting better.
He goes back to working on the laptop. An aerial view peers down at the station wagon as it rolls along a highway. Inside the vehicle.
What do you know about my job, son?
You're an accountant. At least I thought you were.
I'm a forensic accountant, which means I look for things that don't add up. And I found some. The man I work for, he was killed today because of what I found. But I still know it, which means they're gonna come after me, too.
We need to go to the police.
No, the DA has police protection 24 hours a day. And where were they this morning? The case implicates a lot of people, son. People with a lot to lose. Governors, congressmen. We can only trust the people that we know. You understand me?
He glances over at the boy.
Yeah.
Now a view soars over lush green hills blanketed with a thick forest of evergreens. The sheriff's department SUV drives past a building bearing a sign for the survival school and pulls to a stop. On a nearby porch, the curly-haired woman who was in the photo rises from a compound bow press as Ethan climbs from the vehicle.
Hey, baby.
Hey, you.
How's the bun?
Cooking.
He kisses the woman, then her swollen belly. They stroll together.
How was your day?
Oh, same old.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I heard you had a little run-in with the hotshot.
Well, she's just when her demons run the show, you know what I mean?
You weren't too hard on her, were you?
Maybe I was a little hard on her, but you know something? She's an asshole. She deserves it.
She's plenty hard on herself, and she probably doesn't need any help from you.
I'm like arguing with my wife about how I spoke to my ex-girlfriend. Especially when my wife takes her side.
I'm not taking her side. I'm just not taking yours.
You are taking her side because I don't even have a side.
Then you're on her side.
What is that, like an accusation?
His smile fades.
Oh, baby, are we fighting?
Oh, God, men are simple. We're not fighting, babe. Dinner's on the stove. There's beer in the fridge. All's right with the world.
At night, inside their log cabin-style house, they snuggle on a couch.
Oh, did you feel that one?
No.
Oh, God, how did you not feel that?
I just didn't, baby.
I think I know what it is.
What is it?
I think it's that concrete skull of yours.
I love how somehow it's my fault that I don't feel the baby kicking.
Oh, babe, everything's your fault.
Everything is your fault. See, scientifically speaking, it's 50% my fault, 50% your fault.
Is that
baby.
What you think?
That's what I think.
You know what I think?
Oh, no, you're going to put me in the headlock? Uh-huh. I don't know.
I think that everything is your fault until this kid turns 4. We clear?
We're so clear, baby. We're so clear.
She breaks away to reach for the phone.
Hello?
Allison, it's Owen.
Owen!
Hey, could I talk to Ethan? I got a real problem.
Okay.
Allison hands her husband the phone and he presses it to his ear.
Noah, how you doing, man?
Hey, Ethan. I've been better.
All right, what's going on?
A view glides over tree-covered hilltops. Seen from a distance, H, the female firefighter, walks across a clearing as giant evergreens loom behind her. Carrying a full backpack and holding an axe in one hand, she trudges alongside a gently flowing stream. Fire Tower 217 can be seen rising high above from the thick foliage of the forest. Reaching the base of the tower's steel frame, H peers up at the structure looming far above her. She tosses her axe on the ground and starts up the tower's rust-stained metal ladder. A wide view shows her making her way up the rungs. Reaching the top, she circles the wraparound deck surrounding a central window-filled view shed. She unlocks the door to the little cabin and steps inside. Shrugging off her pack, she lets the door close behind her. The woman plods warily across the room and drops into a chair. She takes off a baseball cap and runs a hand through her hair. An outside view withdraws from the fire tower. Now in a motel room, Owen hurriedly writes on a sheet of paper. His son stirs in the bed behind him.
Hi, buddy.
What are you writing?
It's for you. It's all my secrets. But I don't want you to read it or even look at it. Promise?
What am I supposed to do with it?
Owen puts down his work, rises, and walks over to sit on the edge of his son's bed.
Give it to someone you trust.
When?
With a little luck, never.
His son blinks up at him confusedly.
I'm really sorry about this, son.
The boy sits up in the bed.
You did the right thing. Right?
Yeah.
Owen glances over his shoulder.
I'm still sorry.
Bright sunlight bathes the landing strip as a private jet rolls down the tarmac. Two men wait for the plane, standing near a pickup truck and a sedan. As the aircraft comes to a stop, the two men walk over to it, one of them opening the hatch. After handing these men a large case and duffel bag, the pair of assassins step out of the plane.
All good?
Yeah, good.
Wasn't sure what you needed, so I brought options.
Yeah, we'll take the truck. Watch that.
The two assassins climb into the truck and the other men head for the sedan. The pickup truck barrels across the airfield. Now, in a diner. Ethan sits with a colleague.
It's a lot to swallow, Ethan. How well do you know this guy?
He was married to my sister. The kid, he's my nephew.
Stop
that?
Would you like some?
I'm okay, sweetheart.
A server steps away.
Sure you want another piece of this steak?
No, I don't eat that crap.
Yeah.
That shit right there is going to kill you.
I think I rode this little bull back in the 70s. I don't blame you for not eating this meat. I don't know what you want me to do for you.
The other officer eyes Ethan.
I'm not sure what I want you to do either.
If he's telling the truth, he needs marshal service or the FBI.
I said the same, but like you wanted me to call TV station, get a news crew down
here. Don't be calling no goddamn TV station. We're not trying to invent a story here.
All right.
You let me know as soon as you get to your house. I'll see this guy in person.
You got it.
Ethan's mustache colleague shrugs.
We're done. Go, stop crying.
I do my best. Yeah, you should maybe consider a salad.
Who eats salad for breakfast?
Fair enough.
At a nearby booth.
Sure. Your wife's calling. Do you want to take the call?
Absolutely not.
Now the station wagon sits parked on a roadside, Owen seated on the rear bumper. A little ways off, his son relieves himself in the dried grass. The boy zips up, then approaches a grasshopper perched on a barbed wire fence railing. He carefully traps the insect in his cupped hands as a gentle breeze rustles his bushy hair. The grasshopper crawls along his palm, bringing a faint smile to his face. As he touches the insect with his thumb, the blurry image of a horse appears just beyond the fence. The boy lifts his head to take a look. He sets the grasshopper on the ground before stepping through a gap in the fence and trudging toward the horse. Taking no notice, Owen spits on the ground. His son draws closer to the horse. Swishing water in his mouth, Owen spits again, then turns to see his boy. He sets his cup down.
Connor!
Owen starts forward. The horse patiently stays put, letting Connor pet its muzzle.
Hey, Connor! Back away from it.
It's okay, Dad. He's nice.
Connor strokes the animal's fine brown hair.
We gotta go, come on.
The horse placidly works its jaw as the boy continues petting it.
Connor.
Giving the animal one last pat on the head, Connor starts back toward his dad. The station wagon pulls away from the shoulder and returns to the paved roadway. Elsewhere, a panoramic view approaches the lookout tower. H stands on the wraparound deck, leaning on a railing while peering through binoculars at puffy white clouds streaked with patches of gray. Inside the view shed, she switches on a radio.
Link's lookout, copy. I see thunderclouds and 30-mile-an-hour wind. Is there any precipitation in that storm?
Lynx, keep this frequency clear unless you see smoke. This ain't a party line.
She blinks with annoyance.
Copy. Jackass.
Seated at the cluttered desk, she leans back in her chair and gazes off pensively. Brief images show the smoke jumpers working to control the forest fire. Staring off, H flashes back again. A powerful wind gust shakes towering pine trees to and fro as they burn. Leo tears off, but the giant tree falls right beside him, and he catches fire.
Get yourself, let's go!
Hannah turns and spots the three boys trapped behind the flames.
Get on.
In the present, Hannah stares off from the tower's deck, chest heaving and fingers digging into the wooden railing.
Fire Tower 217, Lynx, this is base, you copy?
She cups a hand to her mouth. Returning inside the view shed, she takes a seat at her desk.
This isn't a party line, so I'm told.
Fuck that little prick. He rides a scooter to headquarters. How are you holding up?
I'm in a 20 by 20 box on stilts with no toilet. I have to get out of here. I'll call you on the sat phone.
Later, Hannah sits perched on a cliffside, phone in hand.
Hey.
You somewhere better?
Defined better.
Giving you a psych eval 3 days after the event was criminal. None of us could have passed it. Forest Service looking for someone to blame besides themselves.
I read the wind wrong.
They read it wrong. Been told you wrong. Not your fault.
Hannah shuts her tearful eyes.
What choice did you have?
She bites her lip with a shake of her head.
I should have gone to them, and instead I was a fucking coward.
And you'd be dead too.
That's our job.
Ominous storm clouds fill the sky overhead.
Do you think about it?
Every day. Listen, don't do anything stupid. There's a lot of people who care about you.
Yeah.
Come on, there's me, there's Ben, there's me.
Hannah cracks a smile.
Hey, you see that storm cell? 12 o'clock to the tower. You see that on the Doppler? No, it's not banking north.
A receding view frames Owen's vehicle as it speeds along a two-lane highway bordered by lush woodlands. The perspective widens to a vast panorama, revealing dense groves stretching to the far horizon.
Can you imagine what Lewis and Clark must have thought when they saw that?
You think they came this way?
Right this way. This is the Lewis and Clark Trail. All we did was pave it.
I like it out here. I like the space of it.
Seated beside his dad, Connor glances out the window at the unspoiled scenery gliding by. An aerial view tracks the station wagon on its journey along the narrow highway. Elsewhere, on a remote stretch of roadway, the older of the two partners stares off into the distance. To one side of the road stand groves of tall trees on sloping ground beyond a safety rail. The killer points to a hill on the other side.
That's a good spot. You'll have line of sight. Time since we last saw a car.
Six minutes. It's a pretty good window.
We do it here.
With the pickup parked on the shoulder, the older man grabs a case from the cab, while his partner lowers the liftgate and unzips a bag. The older man sets the case on a rock, while his partner puts on a camouflage top. The case opens, the older killer removes a handheld device beside a laptop and lifts its antenna. His partner scrambles up the steep hill. Hannah spies distant lightning through her binoculars.
You're off, you bastard.
She hurries along the deck as the electrical storm draws closer. She gazes up at a tall antenna mounted near the roof, then grabs hold of a pulley cable. As lightning strikes the antenna, she rappels down, but the cable stops short and she plummets to the ground. Elsewhere, the younger partner peers through a sniper rifle scope.
Vehicle approaching, two clicks out.
Driver's female, Montana plates.
Alpha Echo Kilo 559er.
Registered to a Deborah Kildare in Red Lodge, Montana.
As the older man stares at the laptop, his partner relaxes his aim, and the approaching vehicle passes. Meanwhile, at the base of the tower, Hannah struggles onto her side. She manages to sit up and studies her hands before lifting her gaze to the tower.
Motherfucker.
Meanwhile, an aerial view tracks the station wagon as it negotiates a curving stretch of highway. Bordered on both sides by dense forest, the road snakes through the wilderness. The windshield frames a vehicle parked on the shoulder up ahead. A closer view reveals it to be the killer's pickup truck as the older partner changes the left front tire.
You gonna help?
Absolutely not.
Tossing the lug wrench down, the killer stands and fires on the station wagon. Connor ducks under the dashboard as the younger man opens fire from his sniper position. The station wagon swerves into the truck but continues on. Struck in the shoulder, Owen drives straight through the metal safety rail and the vehicle crashes down an embankment. It comes to rest upright on a slope, its hood mangled. Cowering, Connor lifts his head and sees his dad's bloody shoulder. Owen points off to the side while keeping low.
Hey, there's a fallen tree right there to the right. You hide under that. Don't make a sound, okay? No matter what you see. Creeks lead to rivers. Rivers lead to towns.
Owen pulls some folded papers from his pocket.
You call the news. You call the TV station. You give them this.
I want to stay with you.
I love you, son.
He touches Connor's tearful face.
Go. Go.
With the vehicle stalled on a steep grade, Connor drops through the open door. His dad slumps into his seat. Heading downhill over the rugged terrain, Connor ducks under a gap beneath a dead fallen tree. He peers out watchfully past the overgrowth. Owen checks over his shoulder, then fixes his frantic gaze on the rearview mirror. The tiny figure of the older assassin appears reflected in the glass. His partner joins him.
You all right?
Yeah.
Didn't see that coming.
They gaze down the slope. With a resigned nod, Owen floors the gas pedal and a tire spins.
His movement.
Will this fucker ever die?
As they open fire, Owen lurches in his seat, riddled by bullets. Connor bows his head and covers his mouth. With Owen slumped forward, the station wagon rolls down the steep hillside. It falls into a shallow creek bed and tumbles, coming to rest on its passenger side in the thick brush. On higher ground, Connor stares off with anguish. Face streaked with blood, he struggles to compose himself. Tears well in his sorrowful eyes. A distant view shows the fallen tree, and further in the distance, the totaled station wagon. Gazing down near the destroyed section of safety railing, the killers turn to see a vehicle slowing near their truck.
We're blown.
The younger man takes his partner's weapon. The older man approaches the vehicle's driver.
Are you okay? Did somebody go over the edge?
I don't know. It's okay. Everything's fine.
He draws a pistol and shoots her in the head. The younger man hustles toward the truck with the automatic rifles. His partner gets behind the wheel of the victim's vehicle, backs up a bit, then pulls forward and parks it on the shoulder. Gets out and steps into the shotgun seat of the pickup's cab before they drive off down the road. Elsewhere, the creek flows steadily through lush grassland. Connor jogs over the terrain along the rocky bank. He runs on without looking back. Meanwhile, Ethan talks on his cell as he drives.
Hey, sweetheart, did they make it? Huh.
Are you almost home?
Yeah, I'm like 5 minutes out.
Spotting the victim's vehicle jackknifed on the shoulder at the foot of the hill, he rolls to a stop.
Babe, let me call you back.
Ethan steps from the sheriff's SUV. He takes off his dark sunglasses and glances around. Approaching the stopped vehicle, he spies the victim's body slumped in the passenger seat, the window nearby streaked with blood. Brow furrowed, Ethan checks his watch. Keeping his hand on his sidearm, he crosses the roadway. Pausing, he gazes down at the crashed station wagon in the distant clearing, his expression grave. Meanwhile, the killers drive on.
Shit, we left that scene a mess.
Oh, you want to clean it up? It is what it is. This job needed two teams. Fucking two teams, like I told them.
It's fascinating where they decide to save money.
All units code 3, CR153.
That was fast. It's the consequence of losing the initiative.
One white male, mid-40s, one white female, early 30s.
There's no boy. What, you think they were looking down from the street and you can't see him?
Yes, sir. Where?
The older man holds his phone.
Yeah, we're en route.
En route where?
He wants to meet.
Wait, he's here? Why is he here?
Fuck!
He pounds the dash as the truck heads around a curve. Elsewhere, a view glides down a craggy rock face, then lingers on a figure seated by the edge of a burbling creek. It's Anna, who uses a knife to pick debris from her scraped hand. With a sharp intake of breath, she flashes back to the forest fire. She wipes a tear away, then recalls cupping a hand to her mouth in horror. She tightens her lips as the image of the stranded boys invades her memory. Eyes shut, Hannah sobs into her hand. She lifts her tear-stained face. Gazing off, she spies a figure approaching. It's Connor, who stops in his tracks before dashing away.
Hey, wait!
He flees uphill.
Hey!
Hannah gives chase.
Stop!
He stumbles, slowing up, and she grabs hold of him.
Connor! Look, I'm not gonna hurt you!
Breaking away, Connor resumes his flight, only to trip and fall.
Stop! Stop! I'm not gonna hurt you! I'm not gonna hurt you!
I want to see where the blood's coming from.
It's not my blood.
Whose blood is it?
She holds him fast.
All right, listen. My name is Hannah. What's yours?
Fuck you.
Oh, nice. I'm a firefighter. I work with the Forest Service, and I can help you. All right? Talk to me and I'm gonna help you, okay?
He kicks her.
All right.
He regains his feet.
Yeah, good luck. Good luck. Town is 12 miles that way, over the Continental Divide. Have fun with that.
She points into the distance, then heads the opposite way.
Wait.
She stops and turns, hands on hips.
Yeah?
Features gripped with indecision, Connor shifts on his feet.
I have a radio in a tower over there. We can call the sheriff or...
No, not the sheriff, the news. Can you call the news?
Hannah studies him pointedly.
Yeah, sure, I can call whoever you want.
Connor's eyes dart, then he slowly makes his way over to Hannah, who leads him off toward a dense grove.
Fucking fast. Damn.
An aerial view shows a busy truck stop full of 18-wheelers. The assassin's pickup truck pulls into the area and parks.
Want me to drop you closer?
He doesn't want us any closer. Pull around the front. I'll meet you there when we're done.
The older man climbs out of the passenger seat and his partner drives the pickup away. Limping slightly, the older assassin walks past parked vehicles as large trucks roll past. he approaches a man with a buzz cut wearing a suit and tie who's casually leaning against a fence post, staring off into the distance. The man with the buzz cut glances over his shoulder toward the assassin as he nears.
What's with the limp?
Is nothing.
You missed a boy.
That seems unlikely.
We promise absolutes, and unlikely is not an absolute. Man was resourceful enough to make it all the way here, so assume he was resourceful enough to have duplicates of everything we retrieve from the DA's office. And assume that those duplicates are in the possession of that boy. Assume the worst case scenario. Assume catastrophe and act accordingly.
Is there a lot of risk?
That I am aware of. You have what, maybe 6 hours before this thing is untenable?
I can buy us more time. But they have to have the stomach for it.
I will make them have the stomach for it.
Should have been two teams. Hit them at the same time.
What got us here doesn't really matter now, does it, Jack?
No, it doesn't.
Jack nods at his boss.
It's a zero-sum game. Treat it that way.
The man with the buzz cut turns and walks away, strolling casually over to a large SUV. He disappears from view behind the imposing vehicle as he climbs in the back seat. Jack peers off pensively as the SUV pulls away. Bird's eye views float above several different areas of the forest. In a public bathroom, Jack stands before a mirror and adjusts his necktie, a badge hanging from his jacket's breast pocket. He checks his pistol and slides a magazine into the grip before slipping the weapon back in a holster. Glancing at his reflection briefly, he picks up a bag and heads out of the room. Outside, Jack finds his partner in a rest stop's parking lot, removing the license plate from a vehicle.
You going to the station?
Brother-in-law. I think maybe we get lucky.
This is a lot of risk for a boy.
Well, I worry about what he might know. And what he saw us do.
Both men wear suits and sport breast pocket badges.
From this point forward, we put down anyone who sees our faces.
That's gonna bring a lot of attention to this town. There's enough of that already.
Give him something else to worry about.
Jack limps away from his partner, who picks the duffel bag off of the ground. Opening a car trunk, Jack grabs three flares. His partner closes the trunk as he walks away from the vehicle, lighting one of the flares.
I'm gonna focus on this for a while.
He lights up another flare and tosses the first one over a fence where it lands in a bed of dry pine needles. As the needles begin to burn, he ignites his last flare and hurls another of the burning devices into the dry kindling. The younger man watches as his companion throws the final flare. The two assassins stand motionless, watching the flames rise before them. Spreading rapidly, the fire now fills the area beyond the fence. The younger man takes in the conflagration, his eyes shifting around uneasily. A faint smile forms on Jack's lips. An aerial view takes in the fire as it expands, filling the air with smoke. Meanwhile, Ethan drives his sheriff SUV down a road.
Allie, there's no sign of Connor.
Well, are they looking?
Yeah, they're gonna set up a search crew, but...
Spotting something, he slams on the brakes. He climbs out of the vehicle and marches over to the side of the road. Staring off with a worried expression, he takes in a massive plume of smoke rising up in the distance. Inside Fire Tower 217, Hannah checks out the seared-looking equipment. She drops the satellite phone frustratedly. A As golden evening light streams in the viewshed's windows, Hannah crosses to the other side of the room.
Let's get you warm.
Connor watches as she opens a cast iron stove and feeds in some wood.
Hungry? Oh, you should eat anyway. Here, there's some candy and shit in it.
She hands him a plastic bag of treats, then opens a drawer and pulls out a hydrogen peroxide bottle.
So, here's the deal, buddy. The tower was hit by lightning. Everything is fried. So we can't...
She pours the liquid on her injured hand.
So we can't call the sheriff or... fuck me, anybody. We are gonna have to hike to town.
Hannah leans back on a counter across from the boy.
So, I need to know whether we should do that tonight, or if we can wait till morning.
Connor doesn't meet her gaze.
You in trouble?
He nods faintly.
Yeah? Anyone else in trouble? Anyone we need to be looking for?
His mouth tightens mournfully.
Not anymore.
Connor fights back tears. He wipes his knuckles below his nose.
You don't seem much up for a hike.
He sets aside the bag of treats.
My dad said if anything happened to him, I should find someone I can trust.
Connor stares at her from the corner of his eyes. Hannah pushes off from the counter and steps closer to the boy.
Something happened to your dad?
Are you someone I can trust?
Sitting down, she gazes with wide eyes at the child.
I'm absolutely someone you can trust.
He studies her for a moment, then pulls out the folded papers his dad gave him. She steps closer and takes the papers from him. Hannah unfolds the two weathered sheets of paper and begins reading. Connor wipes a hand across his mouth and nose. She glances up at him as she reads. Now finished, Hannah gazes sympathetically at the boy.
Where'd they find him?
On the road. I hid under a tree. Run down to the creek. Because creeks lead to rivers and rivers lead to towns.
That they do.
She hands back the papers.
All right. Okay.
She picks up a gauze pack.
We're leaving tonight?
We're leaving right now.
After dark, the forest fire blazes. In the log cabin at the survival school, Allison rubs her belly as she listens to the radio.
The fire has now jumped containment break Delta and is moving towards Highway 12.
She notices car headlights outside.
7 miles per hour. We are currently at 0% containment.
She opens the door.
Babe, I have been calling.
It's the two assassins.
Can I help you?
I'm Agent Frears. This is Agent Michaels. We're with the FBI. Is Deputy Sawyer here?
She backs inside.
He's still on duty. You can try him on your radio.
We run different frequencies.
Change the channel.
We spoke earlier and he asked us to meet him here.
Do you mind if we come in?
She secretly grabs a bottle of bear repellent.
Yes, I do.
They burst in, tumbling her over a tabletop.
Show me hands.
As Jack nears with his gun raised, she holds up her hands from the floor. Behind her, Jack jams a poker amid the flaming logs in the fireplace. The young assassin checks another room, finding it full of nursery items that have yet to be unpackaged and set up. He returns to the other room.
House is clear.
Stepping over, he leans close to Jack.
I
pregnant?
Still on the floor, Allison nods.
How many months?
6.
Boy or girl?
Girl.
Well, I want you to think about her when I ask you these questions. You run a survival school. Telling me the truth is how you survive.
She stares up at him with wide eyes.
Is the boy here?
No.
Has he been here?
No.
Have the police found him?
Not that I know of, and I would know.
But this is where he'll come?
I don't know.
Jack scratches his forehead.
Now, that sounds like you're telling us the truth, Allison, but we have to know.
He turns to his partner.
I am telling the truth.
The younger man steps over to the fireplace.
I have to know.
Jack's partner pulls the red-hot poker from the flames.
I am telling the truth!
He draws close with the poker.
I have to know.
The poker nears her eye.
Look at my husband found him! My husband found him! He was my husband!
Where'd he take him?
I don't know! He didn't tell me, but I can call him! I can call him!
Okay. Call him.
The young man releases Allison and backs off with the poker.
Where's the phone?
She points and Jack trains his pistol on her.
You keep this conversation casual. You hear me?
Wiping her nose, she nods, then rises and staggers over to the phone.
Hey, babe, how's the boy?
What?
Is he hungry? I bet he's hungry. I'll make him something to eat if he's hungry.
That's a distress word. You gave him a fucking distress word!
He slugs her, then slams her to the floor.
Fucking survivalists! You want to survive? I'll give you something to fucking survive!
She aims the bear repellent toward the fireplace.
You're pointing it the wrong way.
No, I'm not.
The repellent ignites and she sprays the fire at him. Jack reels around the room, flames rising from him as Allison slips away. Jack crawls, the back of his suit on fire. Allison grabs a hunting rifle and exchanges shots with a younger man. She dashes outside as Jack fires from the floor, his flames now out.
You good?
No. Fuck you not.
Meanwhile.
I'm a mother pheasant plucker. I pluck mother pheasants. I'm the most pleasant mother pheasant plucker to ever pluck a mother pheasant.
I'm a pheasant mother fucker. I pluck mother pheasants.
I'm the most pleasant mother pheasant
fucker. Ooh.
The
most pleasant.
I'm a mother.
Lightning flashes.
All right, break's over. We gotta get downhill. We're gonna take turns running. When I say stop, you stop and get down like this. And I'm gonna run past you. We're gonna keep switching. Get ready, go run.
Connor tears across a grassy field.
Dad!
He drops to the ground and Hannah runs past him as bolts of lightning strike all around. She crouches.
Run!
He sprints ahead again.
Down!
He drops.
Run!
Now they both run as lightning hits the ground, sending up sparks. Connor drops, but Hannah is blasted by a bolt and lies motionless in the grass. The boy rushes over to the woman's side.
Oh, God. Please, please.
Hannah moves.
You got hit?
She struggles to rise.
Miss me.
She manages to sit up.
You got hit. Nobody. It missed me. We gotta go.
He died right in front of me.
He leans back against her and she awkwardly wraps her arms around him from behind.
Let it out, buddy. Let it out.
Lightning continues to flash nearby. Back at the survival school, the assassins check outside, each gripping an assault-style rifle.
There's no blood trail. Think we got her?
It's 50-50. I couldn't see shit.
The younger man studies his partner's burned face.
You okay? Don't look good.
Well, there's nothing I can do about that now.
A vehicle pulls into view, its headlights blazing.
Go deep.
The assassins split up. A sheriff's SUV comes to a stop, and Ethan and the sheriff hop out.
Ellie?
Ethan levels his pistol.
Dispatch, there's off one. We need two more guys.
The sheriff is blasted in the head. Ethan fires, but Jack appears behind him.
Drop your weapon! Drop it now! Drop it right fucking now!
Ethan complies.
Drop your fucking weapon! Step in the road! Stop! Face away from me. You're about to be a father. That's the only thought I want in your mind. Now very slowly, unbuckle your service belt, drop it to the ground, toss it to the left.
Ethan obeys the commands, dropping his belt and shoulder mic.
Drop to your knees.
Ethan kneels.
Allow yourself to fall forward. Fall forward.
The other assassin steps into view.
Hands behind your back. Backup weapon?
Right ankle.
The younger man takes Ethan's backup gun.
We have another man with your wife. On my word, she will be executed. You will not be a father anymore, do you understand?
I understand.
According to your wife, the boy's with you. Now, if that were true, there'd be a much bigger police presence in your yard right now.
Boy hasn't been found. I think he's tossed from the vehicle in the crash. There's a search crew who's gonna go out in the morning, but that got caught off because of the fire.
Search is exactly what you and I are going to do.
The younger man leans in.
Okay. You really think we should leave that loose end?
The clock is ticking. We don't have time to search for both.
Okay, let's go. Up.
The young assassin hoists the now handcuffed Ethan to his feet. In a forest clearing.
A few years from now, you are going to find yourself near a lake or a forest behind your house with some saucy blonde. And you are going to want to take full advantage of that situation. Campfires are like catnip for teenage girls. And all you need is some fuel, some heat.
She gets a fire going.
Voila! You're swapping spit with a cheerleader.
Getting struck by lightning made you weird.
I was already weird.
You just look sad to me.
Hannah glances across at him, the firelight reflected in her eyes.
I look sad?
She fusses with their campfire. Hannah hangs her head forward.
There was a fire last year that I was in charge of fighting. And we thought the wind was doing one thing and it was doing another. So instead of fighting it, we found ourselves running from it. Which is not where you want to be.
Connor lowers his gaze.
And there were three boys around your age. I got caught in the fire, and all I could do was watch.
The boy looks off to one side.
I watched my mother die of cancer.
It's impossible to feel sorry for myself around you.
He shrugs.
I'm sorry. All right. Let's get you warm, buddy.
Connor gazes to one side again.
My dad called me buddy.
Oh, fuck. I'm sorry, I won't call you buddy.
No, it's fine. You can call me buddy.
They lock eyes briefly, then Connor looks down toward the fire.
I'm warm. Let's go.
He starts off elsewhere.
No fucking way the kid survived that.
We ain't here.
You want to search up the hill? Like I said, they'll send a team.
I'll check it out.
I'll tell you this much, I've seen 1,000 wrecks. There's no way somebody survives that, let alone a kid.
Oh, good. Should be easy to find then, so let's start fucking looking.
The three men fan out from the crash station wagon. Burned, blistered flesh covers Jack's face from his cheek down to his neck. Ethan paces forward, ahead of the others. He crouches by the creek. His flashlight beam illuminates a sneaker print pressed into the muddy ground. He clicks off the light. He stands, discreetly rubbing the ground with his shoe.
Hey, whoa, whoa, whoa. What was that? Move.
Jack's partner approaches and shines his beam on the still visible print in the dirt.
Yeah, the kid made it.
Guess we're about to judge your tracking skills, deputy.
Nah, I don't think you're gonna judge shit.
Jack eyes him incredulously.
Yeah, I think I'm done. I think I'm gonna go ahead and I'm just gonna keep my dignity.
Ethan backs away.
Look, we know how this thing's gonna end, right?
He spreads his arms.
Fuck it, I know.
The killers aim their rifles.
So let's just fucking do it now, huh?
Play your cards right, deputy. You could live through this.
What the fuck do I look like? I look like the stupidest motherfucker on this planet?
Take a couple of steps back, Jack.
Fuck you! You gonna let me live, huh? Yeah. Oh, fuck, that'd be a mistake. You let me live and I will shout your description to anybody who will fucking listen.
No, you won't.
I'll fucking hunt you down. You hear this fucking guy? If I play my cards right, huh?
I will fucking kill you.
Fucking kill me. Shoot me. What are you waiting for?
Give me the word, Jack.
Come on, give him the word. I'm gonna fucking die right here. Right here.
Jack, give me the word.
Fuck you.
Ethan lunges, but Jack takes him down.
Jack, move left.
Jack throttles Ethan, then his partner jabs him with his rifle stock. Ethan's eyes go wide, seeing Jack's pistol pointed at his face.
We will not talk. Ever. You know why? Because when we find this boy, I'm not killing him. You are. That's how bad I don't want to shoot a pregnant woman.
Jack's partner aims his rifle.
If you try this shit again, I will fucking burn her alive. Have I made myself clear? Yeah? Now track.
Ethan scoots onto his knees before standing upright. Both killers keep their weapons trained at close range.
Move.
Ethan glances at Jack's partner, then shuffles forward.
Are you okay, brother? Not making much sense when you talk.
I am so fucking sick of this place.
The duo trails behind Ethan. Elsewhere, Hannah leads Connor through the woods. She stops and holds him back upon seeing the angry orange sky above the tree line.
Was that fire?
Yeah. That's a big one.
Thick smoke obscures the view beyond.
We gotta go back.
Hannah starts back, but Connor stays rooted to the spot.
I'm not going through that again.
We can't go through that. That eats everything in its path. I would have seen this from the tower. I didn't call it in. They're gonna send a chopper to figure out why. Chopper is that way. Back there. You don't get through that. We're going that way. All right?
He gazes, sulking.
Now.
Connor reluctantly heads back the way they came, Hannah trailing behind. Now, an aerial view glides above the dark forest canopy. Embers drift around as the raging blaze makes quick work of the woods. Allison returns home, rifle aimed. Finding the cabin empty, she takes a container of bullets from a drawer and pockets it. She grabs a handheld GPS. A map appears on the small display. Grabbing the rifle, she hustles outside. She pauses at the entrance to a shed, her gaze sweeping past a four-wheeled all-terrain vehicle to a dirt bike. She cautiously approaches a horse corralled inside a stall.
You.
Now she rides at a gallop away from the property. Meanwhile, a view lingers on the lookout tower. Inside, hands wrapped with gauze, Hannah gingerly removes one of her threadbare socks, revealing the sole of her foot swollen and blistered. She touches her ankle before reaching for the bottle of hydrogen peroxide and pouring the antiseptic on her foot. Connor glances over while reading.
You okay?
Yeah. I'm peachy.
She gingerly touches her blisters. As Connor returns to his reading, Hannah crosses to address her. She grabs a hand mirror and hangs it on the wall. She studies her reflection, peering at the scorched flesh of her shoulder, showing through a large hole burned in the fabric of her shirt. Wandering over to her bed, she opens a nearby cabinet and pulls out another shirt.
Turn around.
Why? I don't care.
Oh, we've shared enough today. Come on.
As Hannah steps across the living area, Connor turns his back. She removes her torn top, revealing a white bra underneath. Eyeing an abrasion on her arm, she puts on the new top. She tilts her head, knocking back a pill. As she goes to set her cup down, something catches her eye. A distant view through the window shows three approaching figures, two wielding flashlights. Hannah scoots onto the floor and grabs her binoculars. The magnified view shows Ethan at the head of the trio.
Connor, get down off the bed. Get down off the bed.
Connor scooches down. Hannah lifts a finger to her lips, then signals him to stay put. On hands and knees, she heads to the cast iron stove and shuts the door. She crawls back to Connor.
You see their faces?
He nods.
Yeah. Come here.
He crawls over to join her.
What? Is that them?
She hands him the binoculars and he peers through the lenses as the three men draw closer.
That's them.
Get under the bed.
No, we can't stay here.
I know. Get under the bed.
Outside.
Hey, how many people stay in those?
Usually one, but from the looks of it, there's nobody home.
Somebody's home. I doubt a fire watcher leaves his cabin with a fire burning.
Hey, what are the chances that fire watcher has a weapon?
In the forest in Montana, I say the chances are pretty good.
Ethan watches as Jack steps over to confer with his partner.
There's no tactical approach to the top of that tower. He'll know whoever's up there. They'll show themselves to him. We put them all down from here. It's the safest play.
Nah, I don't have a better idea.
Hey, you're going up that tower. Boy's in there. You're gonna bring him down to me. If he isn't, start a fire in the middle of that cabin and burn it to the ground.
Why burn it?
So I know you ain't lying. Come on, go. Move.
The killers stay put while Ethan shuffles forward. Meanwhile, Allison's horse canters through the shadowy forest. On the moonlit deck of the tower, Ethan peers through the door's window.
Nobody's here! Door's locked!
Yeah, it won't be the first door you've kicked in.
We need some higher ground.
Ethan's shoulders open the door. He closes it.
If you're hidden, you stay hid. There's a rifle trained on me. There's two of them, they're both armed.
He pauses. Seated on the floor, Hannah locks eyes with him. She lowers her gaze. Outside, Jack stands at the base of a tree while his partner scales the trunk. Back inside,
Connor, you're doing great. Just stay there, okay? Don't move. Don't talk.
Connor lies prone beneath the bed.
You got a weapon in here, H?
I have a pretty sharp axe.
Pray that's not gonna do it. I don't know how to get us out of this.
Connor listens intently.
Fire's gonna be here in about an hour. That should get us out of this.
We don't have an hour.
Outside, Jack leans against the tree.
Oh, fuck. I see nothing. No movement. It's just standing there.
Ethan appears in the rifle's crosshairs.
I'm fading here, partner.
Perched between two tree boughs, the younger man glances down.
Yeah, I know.
He returns his attention to the sniper rifle's scope.
Wait, he's talking. Yeah, he's talking, Jack.
They open fire. Struck in the shoulder, Ethan drops.
Get him out of here, Ethan!
Hannah drags Connor from his hiding place as the barrage continues.
Come on, Connor!
Hannah opens the door.
You okay?
As muscle flashes burst from the trees, Hannah ventures onto the deck and fastens a cable hook to the railing.
Come on!
Connor joins Hannah.
I got you.
She cradles the boy as they rappel to the ground.
Movement! Running west!
The sniper reloads.
Take the shot! Take the fucking shot!
I got no shot! Fuck!
With the targets lost in shadow, he drops to the ground.
We move.
As he and Jack rush forward, a bullet strikes a tree trunk.
Contact, right!
Hidden in shadow, Allison clears a spent casing from her rifle. Lying prone, the killers peer across a clearing.
That was a deer rifle. All right, I'll take the shooter, you take the boy.
If there's even a chance that it's her, I take the shooter.
All right.
Rendezvous back here. You cover me.
Moving.
Move.
Jack lays down cover for his sprinting partner as Allison tries to draw a bead on him. Jack plunges forward. Meanwhile, as flakes of ash drift across the forest, Connor comes to a stop, his face lit with an intense orange glow. The view tilts up to the flames above the tree line.
Keep going.
Toward the fire?
Yeah, buddy.
Connor goes on ahead, face beaded with sweat. Hannah follows close behind. Jack's partner searches the woods, flashlight beam piercing the shadows. Elsewhere, Jack emerges into the clearing and opens fire on a log, Allison barricaded behind it. With Jack advancing, she rolls out from cover, keeping prone. Smoke rises as his shots bounce harmlessly off the log. While he pauses to grab fresh ammo, Allison kneels and takes aim. Struck, Jack falls. Allison straightens onto her feet, rifle trained ahead, and creeps forward.
Just stop for a fucking minute!
She stops a few feet before him and stares down her rifle scope. Jack sits, crumpled forward.
Where's my husband?
Tower.
Is he alive?
I don't know.
She pulls the trigger.
You're out.
They both frantically try to reload their weapons. As Jack stands and takes aim, Allison's shot strikes him. He drops, his firearm discharging, then gets off one more errant shot on his back. Allison advances through the drifting ash. She stops before Jack, rifle aimed at close range. He gazes up weakly.
I hate this fucking place.
She studies him ruthlessly.
It hates you back.
As he sits up, she guns him down. She looms over his motionless body before finally lowering her weapon. Her chest rises and falls with her breathing as ash flurries like snowflakes around her. Meanwhile, a distant view frames Connor making his way through the hazy forest. Behind him, Hannah struggles to keep up.
Come on.
She pauses, staring with dread.
Come on.
Come here.
He jogs over.
You're gonna run 100 yards towards the fire. You're gonna turn left, and you're gonna keep running until you get to a creek. When you get to a creek, you find the deepest, widest part, and you get in and you lay down. You understand?
I'm not leaving you.
100 yards, left, creek. 100 yards, left, say it.
His eyes well with tears.
Say it, 100 yards.
100 yards left.
100 yards,
100 yards left,
creek. Creek. When you get there, what are you gonna do?
Lay down.
What are you gonna do?
Lay down.
Go. Go.
Face racked with anguish, he tears himself away toward the fire line. Hannah watches, hand braced on a tree trunk before stepping away. Back at the tower, Ethan shifts his wounded leg, then starts to remove his bulletproof vest. He spies movement outside.
Ethan!
Creeping past the shattered windows, Allison opens the door.
Hey, sweet girl.
She hurries over.
Hey, look at you. Baby.
Where'd he hit, babe?
I can't tell how bad it is. Two legs.
As he leans forward, she feels his back.
Oh, shit.
Blood soaks her hand.
How bad is it? Yeah.
It ain't good, babe.
It's okay. It's okay.
Okay.
Okay. Did you get him?
I got one. I don't know where the other one is.
You did good. All right.
He kisses her brow.
You gotta get out of here now. Hey.
No, I'm not leaving you.
It's about our baby girl. Nothing matters if she don't make it. You understand me?
No one makes it through that baby.
Gazing out, Ethan sees the inferno feeding on the tree line beyond. Allison cradles his face to hers as she holds him close. As smoke blankets the woods in a haze, Hannah trudges on. She pauses to slip her backpack from her shoulders and retrieves her axe. She tosses the backpack a little ways off. She tramps forward with a determined expression. Up ahead, a flashlight beam floods from the shadows. Taking notice, Hannah presses her back to a tree trunk. She shifts, keeping her shoulder against the bark as the view glides past to reveal Jack's partner creeping over. Gripping a pistol with an attached light, he sweeps the barrel as he surveys the area. He spies the discarded backpack on the ground before pivoting. Lowering his gaze to the ground, he spots an ash-white print in the dirt. He lifts his gaze to the conflagration consuming the forest beyond before extinguishing his pistol's light. He heads forward through the smoke-filled clearing toward the closest tree. A few spindly, leafless branches jut from the narrow trunk. A view over his shoulder reveals the raging blaze beyond. As he reaches the tree, Hannah steps out, swinging and striking him with her axe. As he steps around the tree to fire, she keeps hidden behind it, the view jerking from side to side. Showing her face, Hannah hacks at him, then takes off running, cowering behind a nearby tree as he fires. She scrambles to her feet, gripping the axe. Jack's partner draws closer, loading another clip in his pistol.
Come on. You really want to die for this kid? You don't even know him. Now if you walk away, right now I won't fire.
Hannah stands with her back to the tree, while the man aims just beyond.
Got my word, okay? Walk away.
Hannah stares in wide-eyed desperation.
Hey! You looking for me?
As the man shifts his aim to Connor, Hannah swings, distracting him. The gunman headbutts Hannah before slugging her in the face. She swings the axe, but he punches her again.
Fuck you!
Connor lunges. Hannah plants the axe head in the killer's foot, then he shoves the boy away.
Connor, run!
Connor scrambles off. Dodging the axe, the killer strikes Hannah. Face bloodied, she rolls onto her back.
Connor! You're gonna hide, huh?
The killer drags her by her jacket.
I'll show you what happens! You run and hide!
He tosses her into the dirt before slugging her in the jaw.
When you come out, I'll stop. Keep hiding. I'll keep hurting her. You watching this? Huh?
Don't come out.
Shut the fuck.
If I come out, will you let her go?
No, I won't. You know, it won't be this. She won't suffer.
He stares past the smoke and embers into the shadowy woods, then rears his hand back.
Stop!
He looks up to see Connor across the way before getting to his feet. He staggers a few steps ahead, his back to Hannah.
This guy. Don't run. Ain't no more running.
Hannah sits up.
Can you turn around for me?
He steps toward the boy, gradually closing the distance between them.
I said, just turn around.
Connor obeys, turning his back to the man. The assassin reaches into a pocket and, while he closes in on the child, flips open a knife. Connor fights back tears as the killer steps up behind him. The man stands directly behind the boy now. Hannah slams her axe into the man's back. She yanks out the blade and swings it into his belly. Hannah pulls the axe free again and, after he lunges for her, drives it into his back. She rips it loose and, using her foot, rolls him over. As the flames draw ever closer, Hannah reaches a hand out toward Connor.
You okay?
Do it.
She gazes down at the man.
Do it.
Look.
A huge fireball bursts upward from nearby trees. Axe in hand, Hannah looks down at the man.
Fire will do it for me. You can fucking suffer. Run. Run.
Hannah and Connor rush off, leaving the injured killer alone. The flames close in on the assassin, engulfing him. He writhes in agony, twisting and thrashing on the ground as the fire completely consumes him. Meanwhile, flames surround Fire Tower 217. Ethan and Allison sit on the wraparound deck, leaning back into the viewshed.
They'll have planes in the air soon.
Wonder whether we'll still be here.
Smoke and ash blow past their faces.
I don't know.
Allison shakes her head and they lock eyes, sharing a tender look.
I love you.
I love you.
The flames rise before them.
Lightning.
She helps Ethan slip a gas mask over his face and adjusts it for him. Allison slides on her own respirator. The two gaze lovingly at each other through their gas masks' transparent face shields. They clasp hands tightly. Elsewhere, as the fire races down a hill, Hannah and Connor try to keep ahead of it. It blasts toward them rapidly.
Run! Come on!
The woman and child sprint as the billowing wall of flames rockets violently down the slope behind them.
Can you swim? What? Can you swim?
She peels off her jacket as they run. They scramble and slide down a steep incline, the flames directly behind them. The fire laps at their heels. They tumble through the air, splash landing in a shallow stream. They both rise up from the water and Hannah moves closer to the boy.
Listen to me. Take a deep breath, hold it, and lay back. Watch what I do.
They both inhale and drop back under the surface of the water facing upward. The fire engulfs everything around the stream. Below the surface, Connor turns to Hannah and watches as she briefly lifts her face just high enough to take a breath. She submerges again and Connor rises for a breath. He quickly drops back down. All around them, the inferno rages, burning every tree in sight. Flames lick up from all directions. Under the surface of the water, Hannah and Connor clasp hands. A view from below them shows their bodies silhouetted against the bright glow of the blazing fire taking place above the surface. Flames lash upward all around the stream. Back on the deck of the fire tower, the gas mask-wearing couple clings to each other as the structure shakes. A view rises up from the fully engulfed forest. Massive flames surge, reaching high above the tallest trees. The view follows the fire smoke as it drifts across the dark night sky. In the dim light of morning, tendrils of smoke drift up from a few still smoldering places alongside the gently flowing stream. Still in the water, Hannah leans back against the shore with an arm around Connor, who sleeps against her shoulder. The boy wakes.
Hey.
He glances around confusedly.
I fell asleep.
I noticed.
He turns to look deeply in her eyes.
What's wrong?
Nothing. Come on. Let's go.
Where are we going?
Anywhere but here, buddy.
They begin walking off, keeping to the center of the stream as they head away. All around them, smoke drifts up from the charred remains of the devastated forest. Hannah gently guides Connor as they wade through the water. On the fire tower's deck, Ethan and Allison still sit side by side, their bodies completely covered in gray ash. At the sound, Allison raises her gas mask and peers upward to see a twin-engine prop plane soaring by. The aircraft circles around the tower, which now stands in the middle of a barren, smoldering wasteland. Benny and Ryan lean out of the plane's open door.
Tower's still standing!
It went right over!
As the plane gains altitude, a flash of light is visible from the tower below.
I got a live body! I got a live body!
We jump here!
Back!
With an okay from the pilot, one by one, Benny, Ryan, and Vic leap from the plane. After a brief freefall, one of the smoke jumpers' parachute opens. Now all three parachutes are visible, their red rectangular canopies bulging as the men slowly descend. The jumpers near the scorched earth and branchless charred tree trunks below. One after another, the three parachutists alight on the ravaged landscape and wrangle their chutes. The men rip off their helmets, wire mesh face masks, and padded jumpsuits. Benny leads the way.
Let's move!
Surrounded by smoldering remnants of trees, the trio sprint toward the tower. Benny stops and points off to the side.
I got two people! My 3 o'clock, see him?
It's Hannah.
Do you see him? Keep going, I got it.
Go. Go.
Ryan rushes toward Hannah as the other two continue heading for the tower. Ryan reaches Hannah and Connor. He gazes at Hannah's bruised and bloody face.
God damn, Hannah.
He looked it right in the eye.
What was it like?
Her mouth forms a faint smile.
It was beautiful.
Ryan's brow tightens.
I didn't think it was beautiful. It scared the shit out of me.
It scared the shit out of me too, sport. Take a look at that cut.
He checks the boy's forehead. Connor drinks heartily from a plastic water bottle.
Got the Wim one, I see.
Hannah smiles at Ryan, then accepts the bottle from Connor when he passes it to her.
Thanks.
She tilts back her head as she drinks. On the tower, Benny and Vic check inside the trashed view shack.
Jesus Christ. What the fuck happened here?
He spots Allison standing just outside the door on the deck and joins her there, then points to one side.
I got one on the right now.
All right, I got it.
Hey, sit down. Hey.
Vic crouches beside Ethan.
Allison, look at me. Hey, look at me. Come on now.
We need a medevac.
NFS 1292. I need a medevac to my location. Target my beacon, please.
There's no rush.
Benny peers at her tear-streaked face, then nods.
Okay.
She turns toward her husband's body. Later, an orange medevac basket stretcher rises up toward a helicopter as Connor and Hannah watch.
Is it coming back for us?
She nods solemnly.
Yeah, buddy, it's coming back.
An aerial view shows a lush green forested area lies beyond the gray burnt-out landscape left by the fire. At a busy base camp, firefighters prepare and check their equipment while nearby, Hannah talks on a cell phone.
It's past the tents near the mobile medical unit. Truck. It's a big white truck.
Sitting on an ambulance tailgate, Connor takes a bite from a field ration package. She joins him at the back of the vehicle and takes a seat beside him.
You eat these? 3 meals a day.
No wonder you're so skinny.
I'm lean, buddy. I'm lean.
What happens next?
Well, you do the interview.
No, I mean after that. I mean tomorrow. Next month.
She gives him a sympathetic look.
Where am I gonna go?
The boy's eyes well up with tears.
I don't know.
He hangs his head.
But I promise you, we're gonna figure it out together.
Connor nods and glances her way, his eyes glistening. Hannah, her forehead sporting 2 butterfly bandages and her face dotted with scabs and bruises, studies the child as he fights back tears. They both glance over at 2 SUVs with U.S. Marshal printed on their sides as men climb from them. A television news van pulls up and crew members hop out, including a woman holding a microphone who looks their way. Hannah shoots Connor a supportive look and the boy wipes a hand under his nose. As they lock eyes, Hannah smiles faintly. A convoy of firefighting vehicles pulls away from the base camp. A helicopter soars over the white tents of the base camp. The aircraft heads toward the horizon, where a vast cloud of smoke still rises from the distant ongoing forest fire. Several other helicopters soar off in the same direction. Cut to Black. Directed by Taylor Sheridan. Screenplay by Michael Corita and Charles Leavitt and Taylor Sheridan. Based on the book by Michael Corita. Produced by Steven Zalian, Garrett Bash, PGA. Produced by Aaron L. Gilbert, Kevin Turin. Produced by Taylor Sheridan, PGA. Executive producers Stephen Thibault, Ashley Levinson, Andrea Spring. Executive producers Jason Cloth, Richard McConnell. Executive producers Catherine Dean, Michael Friedman. Executive producers Darius Sirsak, Celia Kong. Angelina Jolie. Those Who Wish Me Dead. Finn Little. Nicholas Holt. Aidan Gillen. Jake Weber. Medina Senghor. And John Bernthal. Director of Photography Ben Richardson, ASC. Production designer Neil Spisak. Edited by Chad Galster. Costume designer Carrie Perkins. Music by Brian Tyler. Music supervisor Andrea Von Forster. Casting by Kathy Sandrich Gelfand and Amanda Mackey. A film by Taylor Sheridan. American Humane monitored some of the animal action. No animals were harmed in those scenes. No person or entity associated with this film received payment or anything of value or entered into any agreement in connection with the depiction of tobacco products. Copyright 2021 TWW MD Holdings LLC and New Line Productions Inc. All rights reserved. This motion picture is protected under the copyright laws of the United States and other countries throughout the world. Country of first publication, United States of America. Any unauthorized exhibition, distribution, or copying of this film or any part thereof, including soundtrack, may result in civil liability and criminal prosecution. The story, all names, characters, and incidents portrayed in this production are fictitious. No identification with actual persons, places, buildings, and products is intended or should be inferred. Those who wish me dead. In memory of Alan Murray, our collaborator and friend. This film has been described by Deluxe with funding by Warner Brothers Pictures, voiced by Darren Polish. In the clouds, a silver and blue shield contains the letters WB, while text below it reads, a Warner Media Company.